Today on the Wisdom Journey, Stephen begins our time in Hebrews. In Hebrews 1, has God spoken? Yes, he has. And what did he say? That Jesus is superior and sovereign over everything. Written to Jewish believers in the midst of persecution, Hebrews opens with a powerful declaration that God, who once spoke through prophets, has now spoken through his Son, Jesus. Be encouraged by who Jesus is in today's lesson.
An old Puritan preacher used to say that there were only two questions you needed to answer in order to face whatever happened in life. Question number one, has God spoken? Question number two, what did God say? You know, no matter what you're facing today, those are probably two of the most profound, encouraging questions you can answer. In this rather wandering, confusing, challenging world, the Christian can actually answer both of those questions. Yes, God has spoken, and yes, his word tells us what he said. Well, as we set sail today into the book of Hebrews, these two questions needed an answer like never before. Persecution was rising against Christians, especially against Jewish converts to Jesus Christ. Now, the title of this book informs us that it was written in general to Hebrews or Jewish Christians, more than likely based on a comment over in chapter 13 and verse 24, which says, "Those who come from Italy send you greetings." Well, that lets us know that this letter was originally sent to Jewish believers suffering in the heart of the Roman Empire, the capital city of Rome. Now, by this time, around AD 65, Nero had literally lost his mind. He had blamed the Christians in Rome for starting the great fire that destroyed much of the city. Some have pointed a finger back at Nero himself for starting this fire to make room for his new palace on a hillside. Christians had spoken openly of God's judgment of coming fire, and so that made them easy targets for Nero's accusations. Many of them would be hunted down and killed. So these are desperate times here. Believers needed reassurance that God had spoken, that God was aware, that God was in control, and that God's Son, their Lord and Savior, was indeed the way, the truth, and the life. They needed answers, and frankly, they needed them now. Perhaps that's why the book of Hebrews starts, as one author put it, like a rocket ship sent to the moon. There are no opening greetings here, no expressions of good wishes, no introduction of the author's name. It just dives right in to answering these questions. Here in verses 1 and 2, open by stating, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." Well, right away, we're introduced to the theme of this book. Simply put, here it is: Jesus is superior. Now, here we're told that Jesus is better than all the prophets of the Old Testament. By the way, this word "better" is going to show up over and over again in this book. We're going to be shown how Jesus is better than the prophets. He's better than the angels here in chapter 1. He's brought us a better hope, chapter 7. He's the mediator of a better covenant with better promises, chapter 8, and so on. Now, let me just mention that to this day, we don't know who the author of this book of Hebrews was. Some argue for Barnabas or Silas or Dr. Luke or Apollos. We don't know. What we do know is the author's overall theme: Jesus is better. He is superior to everything. He is sovereign over all things. And by the way, that means that madman on the throne in Rome and the chaos in their world and in your world today. Well, how do we know that Jesus is superior and sovereign? Well, because God the Father said so. Again, we read here in these opening verses, God, that is God the Father, spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. And that's true, isn't it? God spoke in the past through many prophets. He used a variety of methods to get his messages across. To some, like Daniel, he spoke in dreams and visions. To others, like Isaiah and Jeremiah, he simply said, tell them this, thus saith the Lord. Even with other prophets, like Ezekiel, he had them act out his messages. And God had a lot to say. But now the writer says, God has spoken directly to us through his very own Son. And who is this Son? Well, first, he's the one who owns everything. Nero might want to build a little palace on a hill, but Jesus owns that hill. He actually owns planet Earth. The writer says here in verse 2 that he is the God-appointed heir of all things. And that's because, the writer goes on to say, that he, Jesus, created the world. By the way, that's a staggering announcement of Jesus' eternal pre-existence as God the Son, the second person of the Godhead. He created the world. So go back in your mind to Genesis chapter 1, where God said, let there be light. Well, who said that? God the Son, the one who would take on flesh one day and miraculously enter the human race. But keep in mind, he existed in eternity past as equally divine as God the Son, along with God the Father and God the Spirit. Now, the writer here goes on to describe Jesus in verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. With that, the author is telling us that Jesus is the exact representation of the very essence of deity. Now, what this means is this. Jesus was not a perfect man who got exalted to deity. Jesus was and is deity who actually became the perfect man. Have you ever thought about the fact that if Jesus was just a man, he could never be described as he is described here in verse 3, as one who upholds the universe by the word of his power? He is the universe's creator, and even now, we're told here, he's holding the universe together. You know, our world is desperate to know where we came from. Can we find the origin of the universe? Where did it all come from? How did it begin? Well, just answer two questions, beloved. Has God spoken? And what did God say? Well, in these opening verses, you have both answers. God has spoken through his Son, and he has said that his Son is the creator of the universe. Now, when the book of Hebrews was written, there were false teachers trying to bring Jesus down to the level of angels. Well, the writer of Hebrews clearly states here in verse 4 that Jesus has become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. That's another way of saying that Jesus is not just another angelic messenger. In fact, throughout the remainder of chapter 1, the writer launches into a series of quotations from the Old Testament that drive home the truth of Christ's superiority to angels. Here in verse 5, he is quoting from Psalm chapter 2 and 2 Samuel chapter 7 to show that Jesus is God's unique Son. Verse 6 here is a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 32, where all of the angels are summoned to worship the Son of God. Verses 7 to 9 here, well, that's a quotation from two Psalms, which say that the angels serve God. Jesus is actually called God here in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 1. It reads this, but of the Son, that's a reference to Jesus, he, that's a reference to God the Father, says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. God the Father is saying to Jesus, God the Son, your throne is forever and ever. Let me tell you, beloved, that ought to shut down every argument that Jesus is just a good man. Now here in verses 10 to 12, the author quotes from Psalm chapter 102, and that asserts that Jesus laid the earth's foundations and created the universe. Then here in verse 13, it's a quotation from Psalm 110, and this is an invitation to Jesus to come and sit at the Father's right hand. Beloved, no angel has ever been given the invitation to sit at the right hand of God. The right hand refers to the place that represents the power and sovereignty of the Godhead. That seat representing the Godhead is reserved for Jesus, who is the Son of God. Now here in verse 14, the writer states that the angels are servants of God. They're on assignment to minister to the saints. And by the way, that means they're ministering to you and me today. And we don't even know how, really. Now, we're out of time, but it's clear. Let me just state it again. God has spoken. And so far, here's what we've learned that he said. Jesus is superior and sovereign over everything. And really, that's about all you need to know as you face whatever challenges you're encountering today. Just remember, God has spoken, and this is what he said. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Jesus, Superior and Sovereign. You've been reminded that in a world filled with uncertainty, God has spoken clearly through his Son. Jesus is superior to all things and sovereign over everything. He's not just another teacher or angel. He's the exact imprint of God's nature, the creator and the sustainer of the universe. So, no matter what challenges you're facing today, God's message through Jesus is all you need to know for assurance and strength. For more insights into God's Word, visit wisdomonline.org. Stephen will continue teaching through the book of Hebrews. I want to make you aware of a book Stephen's written. In a few days, he'll come to Hebrews 11, and Stephen has a book that deals with that chapter, looking at the lives of the heroes from God's Word who are recorded there. Stephen's book on Hebrews 11 is available during this series at half price, so get yours today. Visit wisdomonline.org, then join us next time to continue the wisdom journey.